This episode is sponsored by Hulu. The reality queen herself, Lisa Vanderpump, has a new home on Hulu and has teamed up with them to bring you the newest, most exciting reality series yet, Vanderpump Villa. In an escape to the French countryside, Lisa and her staff work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. The series offers first-class luxury with world-class drama. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, presented by Betches Media. This is an exploration of all pop culture. From the classic reality TV moments of the past and present, to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. We're looking at you, Tom Sandoval. Folks, welcome to an all-new episode of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is your pal Ryan, and this is your Tuesday episode. Back from Vegas, I am fished out. I will go into all of that after we jump right into our guest right up top, but I hope you are doing good. I hope it was a gentle re-entry to your week. Man, Monday's episode, I hope you really enjoyed it. Pop apologists were great. Busy Phillip stopping by to say hi. I mean, that's a well-rounded, balanced pop culture diet that we are listening to together. That's exciting. And hopefully we'll be able to keep that train running all week long for you guys. So today, what we're going to do, we're going to shoot to the guest. It's a quick interview, like 24 minutes. And then we'll regroup as a family, and then we'll talk about some pop culture stories. I want to tell you about Fish. I want to talk about The Jinx Part 2 that just landed on Max on Sunday. I want to talk about Baby Reindeer. I want to talk some Bravo. I want to just talk some pop culture stories and kind of just gab with you guys, if that's cool with y'all. I don't know what's happening to my language. Cool with y'all? What am I? Have I gone country? Have I gone country since the Beyonce album? Cowboy Bailey? Is that what's happening here? Yeah, and also I got to tell you about bumping into Austin Kroll from Southern Charm at the Fish Show. Who would have thought? Who would have thunk in all of your years? Very, very. I truly believe we live in a simulation. I mean, truly, when you really think about it, what are the odds? I know like 20,000 people at the Sphere. What are the odds going to get chicken fingers that I bump into Austin Kroll? 20,000 people. That's so impossible. And that's why I think this is, life's got to be a simulation. I think whoever writes my code for the story of my life has not been doing good in the last year. Really, really, or making, you know, I'm really making it horrible for me this year. But then I think sometimes they throw me a bone of like, let's have Ryan bump into Austin Kroll from Southern Charm at a Fish show. That'll be a little silly. Let's do that. Anywho, that's how I'm taking it as of now. If you guys like this show, please consider rating it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can join our Patreon, become a baddie, patreon.com/sobadit'sgood. And yeah, like I said yesterday, if there's any products that I talk about, use my product code. If it's something that interests you, all that stuff really does help the show. But I hope you guys are doing good. So let's get into it. Now, Summer House this season, I think, is having one of its best seasons that it's had in years. And I think that's because of the new cast members. We got West and we got Jesse Solomon. Now, I got to talk to Jesse, which you're going to hear. And Jesse's been doing a lot of podcasts in the last week. So you might have already heard him on a couple of other shows, but that's okay, because I think one of the best things when you're a fan of podcasts is hearing how each person does it. You know, like, I think it's exciting when I get to listen to some of my favorite podcasters. I don't listen to Bravo podcasts, but I listen to like interview format things. And I'm like, when I listen to Stern, even I'm like, oh my God, how is Stern going to talk to Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam? How is Stern going to talk to this? Like, it's exciting for me to see what magic how an interviewer tanks something. You know, it's like that walk on the high wire with each guest. So hopefully you'll listen to this. And if you don't watch Summer House, you should be watching Summer House. Truly, I think it is the perfect antidote to the Vanderpump Rules blues. And I think it just shows you to not give up on shows, how important casting is, how important, I hate to use this word because it's overused, how vibes play a part. Now, there are a couple of things I had to cut out of this episode because Jesse was too honest with us, too honest. And I'm so thankful that Bravo considers me a place to put guests. And I love that relationship so much. But it is funny because Jesse, you know, you'll hear it's like he's just very, you can tell he's first season. Like he is not media trained yet. And I mean that as the highest form of praise because he's just like, he's chilling. He's just answering questions. I imagine this has got to be really weird for somebody. Like it's got to be really exciting to get a bunch of attention all at once. But then, you know, it's also interesting to see how that changes people over, you know, many seasons. You know, we think about that or we talk about that with Vanderpump Rules all the time, how it's changed the cast and even the way they think about their own life after 11 seasons. So anyways, this is the first time I've talked to Jesse Solomon. Hopefully it will not be the last. He was really fair. He was just really great, even with all of my silly questions. And that's it. So let's get to him, the one, the only, from one of the best seasons of Summer House we've had in a long time. Jesse Solomon. Welcome back to So Bad It's Good, presented by Betches Media. Now, you know, I am the biggest fan of this season of Summer House. They finally have the chemistry right. It is fun again. It is dramatic. It is everything you want. We even had aliens in this week's episode, but something that we also have are new cast members that bring so much magic and actually brings this group back together in really amazing ways. And we have one of the reasons why this show is back on track again with us today, the one, the only, single and ready to mingle, J-Bone, Jesse Flippin' Solomon. What's up, man?
Dude, I am fired up from that intro.
Wait, are you on vacation right now? I just saw your Instagram. Are you no.
I live in Miami during the winter and I guess it's the spring now, so part of the spring as well. But I'll be back in New York May 1st. I was just in the Bahamar, SLS Bahamar.
Black. That's it.
Yeah.
I was looking at it. I was like, this guy, we need cameras up right now because it looks like he's having like a Summer House experience with different cast members.
I mean, I'm blessed, brother. It is a fun life over here. And it's so close to Miami. Like by the time you get up in the air, they're like, you got to fasten your seatbelt because we're heading down, bro.
That's perfect. Well, I mean, when do we know if Summer House is going to, if you're going to go back this summer? Because I already want another season with you guys. In my head, it's already done. Do you know yet?
I do not know yet, actually. Last season, I didn't get hit up till like mid-June. And it
okay,
was,
so I'm going to mark that on my calendar right now. Mid-June is when to check back in with you because I need this to happen, Jesse. You don't understand. I live a very sad existence, and this show has really brightened my last couple of months. And I mean, what is for you, not coming from reality television, is it really insane to deal with the reactions you're getting, good and bad, from the fan base? Because people think you and Wes are like the best thing since sliced bread, but like at the same time, we've been burned before by cast members. Is it really interesting to deal with the fan base?
You know, I love the fan base through thick and thin. I think just the scenes that you saw from me in the beginning and just like how amazing Wes is, like it's so easy to love Wes and like, you know,
hey, let's talk trash on your boy right now. Let's do it. Let's like, why should we like you better than West?
No, I don't want anybody to like anybody better. I love West. I love what, like, if I was you, I'd love West. I think we're very similar and we're also very different. But he's just the best guy. Like he helps me through so many things and, he just wants what's best for me and I want what's best for him. You know, it was weird at first seeing negative comments about yourself on the internet. Like you can go into it and be like, I don't care. And then like the human brain is not meant to read negative shit about yourself on the internet like that. We weren't designed for that. So once you just tune that out, and it's, you know, I only get the positive.
Well, it's overwhelmingly, I will say it's overwhelmingly positive. I've seen season after season of all of these shows, and I've never seen people take to cast members like you and Wes, but I will say, in a compliment to you, Wes, obviously this amazing character, what we see on the show, and seems like a great person. But what I love what you do is that you actually like kind of pose some questions. We see in these scenes, even with like Carl and Lindsay, you'll be like, hey man, this isn't my place, but you know, are you sure that this is, like, you'll subtly kind of make conversations happen that I think need to happen. Is that really how you are in your real life? Are you the guy that actually kind of wants to get things out in the open?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was instigating those conversations.
No, not instigating, but like encouraging. Yeah,
I was definitely asking questions. Like, I'm not going to hide anything. Like, if I see something, I say something. So everybody's like, was it really your place to like get involved or like so quickly? And I was like, dude, I've been hanging out with this guy for hours and hours. Like, we hung out in the city during the week. Like, if he was one of my boys about to get married to this girl, I'd be like, what the, I would have been asking way more questions.
But you were seeing the obvious and what the audience, and we're not even seeing it as much as you guys. And I do love both Lindsay and Carl. And it seems like everybody kind of does enjoy both of them as well. But it is something that was so in your face that I would imagine everybody has to say something, but you're new to this. So you're seeing it with fresh eyes. Whereas Kyle and Amanda and Paige, like, they're all used to this from years and years.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was just like so obvious and apparent that these two were not a match and that the wedding was like right around the corner. And there were so many unresolved issues that it wasn't like rocket science. I was just like pointing out the very obvious.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was. And but by the way, that's like, you still managed to make the show fun. I will say, this week's episode, insanely ticked off that you are not in it. You missed an alien invasion. Were you bummed to not be in the summer house? And do they were, I feel like they require you guys sometimes to just not show up. I'm like, this is a job. You got to be at the summer house.
Yeah,
because it just, I want you there every episode to see what happens. Also, to actually, this week's episode, we had like Wes, like Sierra and Wes. We still have something that you mentioned on last week's episode of like, when are you going to hook up with my boy, which is not instigating, but pointing out. And this week's episode kind of focuses on that. I'll give you $200 Venmo right now if you tell me if Wes and Sierra are still together. It's free money. Free money.
You gotta up that a little bit, brother.
$220.
It's Wednesday. Doesn't that alien episode come out tomorrow?
Tomorrow night. Yeah. Tomorrow night.
Have you seen it?
I did see it. Yeah.
What the, how do you, you got early access?
No, it was just because I was going to talk to you. So I was going to talk to you. And then I realized, but yeah, it's a great episode.
It is a good episode. I wish I was there. It was like a fun party. Everybody talks about how we got to party like inside the house. I would have partied inside of that motherfucking house.
Okay. Well, you really kind of bring obviously the party atmosphere. And I know, sorry to like totally left turn this, but
yeah, let me just say that I didn't feel like I was saying something so crazy. Like, people got upset with me. They're like, what a pig would like ask Sierra when she's going to fuck this guy. I would have slapped him in the face. And I was just like, dude, they were hanging out every night, like in the city. And I was like, is she playing games with him? Like, I want him to.
So you are really concerned for your friend in a way.
In a weird way, I don't like when girls play games. And I was very close with Sierra at that point too. So I was just like, we were just like this group of friends. And it wasn't like such a weird thing to be like, I wasn't like spilling tea that they had sex. I was just like, are you guys going to fuck at some point? Like,
no, I mean, and it's a big part of Thursday's episode where it is still not happening. And I think we root for them so hard. And like, I've actually taken a second look at Sierra because through Wes' eyes, I'm like, wow, I really like Sierra this season. And I think it's one of those weird things that we root for these couples and we invest in them. And then it's like, is he going to seal the deal? Like, now I feel like you, I'm like, is he going to seal the deal? Because it's another week where it hasn't happened. And now I feel disgusting just talking about this out in the open. So I'm going to stop. But Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
What I do want to say is, listen, you know, one of the most amazing things about you is your journey with cancer. You know, my mom fought cancer valiantly for many years. She lost her battle this past year. But what one of the things that I remember, you know, when you came out with that part of the story, I was like, holy, you know, a two-time cancer survivor. And I want to point out to the listeners that April is Testicular Cancer Awareness Month. And I want to make people aware of that because I think that is such a positive message that can actually come with these shows. We also see in the mid-season trailer that potentially something else bad happens. You know, if we're to look at that trailer, I think you're talking to your mom and then, you know, you're talking to West. I mean, are you okay now? And also, what is your message with your cancer journey?
Yeah, I am healthy, thank God. And I think that a big reason that I wanted to be on this show was I feel comfortable talking about my cancer journey. And I thought that it could help a lot of people. Just even if one person goes and gets checked because they see me on TV, like I it was worth it. You know, any negative thing that comes from the show, it doesn't matter. Like I helped somebody or saved somebody's life. Like that means a lot to me. So I just wanted to spread awareness and, you know, everybody knows somebody going through cancer and it's a terrible disease. And if you can get ahead of it, that's, you know, the best way to be able to treat it. Early detection and prevention is really the only cure we have.
Has it made, like, how has it affected the way you live your life? Because you do seem to have this positive vibe about you. You're always smiling. You seem to be want in on living life. Was there a moment after going through this that it made you uncertain about living life, or when you got like all systems go, you're like, let's live, live, live?
Yeah. I just think it's hard to fucking care, man. Like the shit people care about, it's like a weight was lifted off my chest when, you know, every time that I get told that I'm healthy, because it's just like a scary thing thinking like at any moment, you know, you could be back in the fucking system and just going to the hospital every day. And like, I'm less scared to die as I am to just put my life on hold and have to go through that stuff. And it's just like a drain on my family. The whole thing sucks. So, yeah, I feel for people out there and, yeah, you don't want anybody to have to go through that. So it's definitely changed my outlook on life. I'm a happy guy. I was always a happy guy, but especially now I think I just like focus on different things. Like I was super success oriented, before I got sick. And now I'm more just like, want to be happy. And that's the most important thing to me.
Yeah. That's beautifully put. And I do like that this message is actually brought out in the show, because I think you're right. If you can just get one person, if you can get anybody out there to go get checked up, like, you know, get ahead of everything in life, because this does affect all of us at one point.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to the insanity, Jesse, that is not real life. It is the summer house life. A lot of my listeners commented that you left a fun and flirty message on Amanda Batula's Instagram recently about how hot she is. Now listen, Kyle and Amanda, sometimes they seem teetering. Two questions. I don't want Kyle and Amanda to ever break up. But if they did and you came back to Summer House, would you rather date Amanda Bettula or Lindsay Hubbard?
I mean, oh, wow. I didn't think you were going to go there.
Yeah, let's go there.
Just back to Amanda. I'm a straight male, brother. She is a gorgeous human being. And I think that I can compliment Amanda because of how close her and Kyle are. Like, Kyle knows that I'm not hitting on his wife. I'm just giving her a compliment. So I thought that's where you were going to go. You're going to say, Kyle and Amanda, you know, they are fighting all season. And it's like, but it's because they love each other so much that they can shit on each other, just like you would with friends.
But Jesse, it is intense to watch in those conversations. Like Kyle on the beach and is like, all of his beach get up and he's like, it is so lonely potentially living with you. That's a brutal thing to watch on reality television. Like, could you imagine being in a relationship that you have to actually say those kind of things to your partner? Like that's, you can sometimes really see from Amanda's point of view that it's like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, he gets riled up. He's upset. Like, he wants everything to be hunky-dory, and it's not. And, you know, we're on a show. It's reality. You're not supposed to hide stuff. It's supposed to all be shown, and that's, like, what we signed up for. So I think that's even what Amanda said on, like, Watch What Happens Live or something. She's like, Kyle's doing his job. Like, he's not, like, making shit up. He's just, like, living his life, and we have issues and we're talking about it.
But back to the original question, who would you prefer to date, Amanda Bettula or Lindsay Hubbard?
I think both of them are off limits for life.
Because you're a cast member of Summer House, or because you're boys with Carl and your boys with Kyle?
Correct. The latter. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because I was thinking, I'm already pre-producing the next season in my head. And I was thinking, if you guys all go back and Lindsay's there, and then there's a drunk night, potentially you hook up, and then there's drama between you and Carl. And then you have like some big volleyball game where you have to like shoot it out. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm already pre-producing this in my head.
Yeah. I mean, Lindsay and I are friends. And Amanda and I are friends. And Kyle and I are friends. And Carl and I are friends. So...
okay, off limits.
I'm not making any predictions on that bad boy.
We did notice in last week's episode, you did get lucky in love. I love that the Summer House did that. I also love that you were smart enough to cover up the camera with a shirt. I thought that was amazing. Good call. Is it really helped your game or hurt your game to be on reality television? And you say that you want a relationship. You want a real relationship. You aren't just out there to hook up with women. You want something real. Has this helped that journey or hurt that journey?
I would say that I haven't. This is going to be so douchey. This is why people think I'm like a cocky asshole. I'm just like confident, and I live in the real world. I'm like a 6'5", relatively handsome guy. Like, I can get dates with girls if I want to go on dates. And that's why I date so much, is because I'm trying to find somebody that I want to spend the rest of my life with. That being said, like, I'm also horny, so like, I'm gonna hook up
Jesse,
with girls.
The honesty from you is so refreshing, and I cannot wait for like potentially Summer House to beat this out of you. I want you to always be this honest, because this is truly amazing.
Yeah, like, I'm not. I think it pissed off the girls in the house, because I came into the house being like, listen, I would like to try and find someone, but in the meantime, I'm gonna have fun. And I should have said, I'm just looking to have fun. And if I find someone, I find someone. To me, it's just semantics, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Are you currently in a relationship or still searching?
No, I'm pretty single.
Pretty single. Pretty good. Okay. We got a little bit more time here. Paige and Craig. Obviously I really didn't think that was anything with you and Pay. Like, I thought that was nothing. I think Craig took it as nothing as well, you know, like, and it seemed like you guys totally hit it off, you and Craig, which I really liked seeing. What is your take on Paige after watching the show back?
Yeah, that whole thing was just such a big nothing burger. Like the,
yeah.
The thing is, I didn't remember saying what I said to Paige at the first party because I was just like drunk and being myself and whatever. And then when I saw the trailer, I was just like, oh, this is why everybody asked me why I was flirting with Paige all summer. And I was like, what do you mean? We're just friends. I'm treating her like any of the other girls in the house.
Good for you.
Yeah. She put me in a fucking body bag. She buried me. She's like, no, good for you. Like,
dude, Paige with her words, she could like, she's good. She's quick. She's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Paige and I are friends. My thoughts on her are the same as before. She's like funny and smart and cute and has a boyfriend, a serious boyfriend, whoever
that you respect and that you like. Okay. The only then, so you got Gabby and you got Danielle in the summer house. They're both single. Does any chance at sparks ever throughout the season? Was there ever a question in your mind? Maybe.
At the beginning, there's definitely question marks, but it just turned into kind of a friendship vibe. I wouldn't say it was particularly like my decision or theirs. I think it was just like there was no chemistry on either side.
Funnest moment that you had shooting this whole season? Like, it seems like it really was kind of wall-to-wall fun, even though there were intense hiccups that you had to go through. What was the most fun you had?
Yeah, I would say that third weekend where we did the camp out, because the first two weekends were kind of like, I was like beefing with Danielle and like, there was just like weird shit. I just didn't feel myself. And like I had best friends in the house. And that third weekend, for whatever reason, just kind of felt like my coming out party. Like, I hooked up with a girl. Like, it just felt
gelled.
Like,
it gelled. It felt like the old Jesse Solomon was back.
Yeah.
Okay. But you would be open to doing another season, obviously, I think. How many dates did you go on this week? Because in the car ride with Paige, I think you did 3.5. Then the week after, you did 2. How many this week have we done? Because I want to point out it's Wednesday, so that's not the full week yet.
So I would just say that for whatever reason, those were like particularly busy weeks. And like, I'll count a date as like I meet up with a girl for a walk that I'm interested in. Those weren't like real fucking long, drawn out dates.
The watching you pack date was interesting. I was like, watching you pack?
No, yeah, we like went and grabbed taco. It was like a fucking hookup. It was like, let's get some food as like the date. Like, can you help me pack on my bed? I've been on 0 dates this week.
Slow week. What's going on, man? Are you okay?
Yeah, everything's good. I would say that like it's just a bigger dating scene in New York, and I'm in Miami right now. Obviously you can go on dates here if you want to, but I'm just not really as intensely looking right now. But New York, like, what are you going to do? Sit in your fucking shoebox apartment and like crank it?
I'm actually going to New York next week, and I'm like excited to actually be out in the city and go around and do things, you know?
Yeah. You got to get out and do stuff. And like, you meet up with people, you meet up with friends, you go on dates. Like, I think for people who live in New York, like, you might understand more that it's not so crazy to go on like 3 dates in a week. It is a lot. I don't do that every week, but
you're a professional. I mean, has this affected your career, and are you excited for the reunion, or are you scared for the reunion?
There's been a lot of positive things to come out of it. I would say the partnership with the American Cancer Society is kind of like the most exciting thing. I'm not scared of the reunion. I'm kind of just like, people make such a big deal out of it. So I'm kind of just like,
you get to watch Carl and Lindsay see each other and have to talk and communicate with each other for the first time in a while. Like, as a friend of both of theirs, are you nervous for them?
That's something I'm supposed to be excited to watch. Like, no.
No, nervous. Are you nervous for them? Like, are you actually, I would be like, kind of like, oh man, I do not want to watch this.
Dude, Lindsay is a professional. Like, she's tough to go up against. So I wish Carl the best. And, yeah, I do not envy their position. I hope nobody comes at me for anything random that I did. But I was pretty.
Well, good, it's going to be the flirt. It's going to be the flirting. They're going to say the flirting, but then they're going to have a cute bit with you and Wes in your relationship. There'll be a clip package of you guys hugging each other and broing out. And that's what we want to see. And that's going to be amazing. So I think you're going to have like the most positive reunion experience out of everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited. Wes might get some heat for what's up with Sierra, but.
Because they're not together anymore, right?
I would never say something like
that. 250. I'll give you 250. Okay. I got to let you go. Our time is up. But thank you so much for really humoring me and being such a good sport about all of this. My co-host on Monday, Sophie Ross, we made a clip about you, was in love with you. She's engaged.
Oh, yeah,
and
you said
you don't date engaged people, which was, I think, really moralistically right of you. But please say hello to Sophie if you could, because she had a big crush.
Soph, hope everything's going well with that guy. If not, I'm here, but I really hope it does.
J-Dog, Jesse Solomon. I'll put all of his info up. Go follow him. Summer House, best season in year. Thanks so much, man. I really appreciate the time.
Yeah, great to do it. Great to meet you. I appreciate it. It was fun.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jesse Solomon, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my goodness. He was great. I hate those interviews when you don't know somebody at all. So you go in cold, you just know him from a TV show. And I got to imagine how bizarre it is for him. And that's why my preferred length for any interview is like 45 minutes to an hour, just because you're feeling things out. It's like this. And then, you think about all these things that you wanted to know that you didn't have time to ask. And sometimes it's great to have a little bit of space. So hopefully I'll talk to him again, because there are so many things that I am kind of dying to know. And I can't wait to see where this season of Summer House leaves off, even though we know some of the big moments, obviously, with Carl and Lindsay. But I'm so curious. They have not filmed the reunion yet. So I'm really interested to see how that goes, because I think there are so many things that cast can talk about. But man, I wish more people were watching that. I wish more people were watching Summer House Martha's Vineyard, which is on Sunday night. And these shows aren't too late to get into, folks. Just throw a season on. Just get into it. And Peacock, I have been mentioning this. It is cool. They put all of these shows up on Peacock. And they sent me like this really cool, like, gift box, like reminding me, and had all this like, I was like, you didn't even need to send this. I was already going to be watching these things, but I think it's because they want me to talk about it. But it was like all of these, like, they have Shaws of Sunset, which I've been doing a rewatch of, and it's so damn good. Have you guys ever watched Shaws of Sunset? If you don't, start from the first season. And it was a different time. It's just wild. These characters, I mean, Reza and Mercedes and Gigi. I mean, just truly, truly phenomenal television. And then, like I said last week, NYC Prep, get into it. Now, this is so funny. On the Patreon, I did a full NYC Prep recap, each one of those episodes. I did that like 3 years ago when the Patreon first started. So I got to go find that. Like, you have access to all those episodes, but I got to go find those episodes, because even just to see how I've changed, or maybe I've potentially gotten worse, but it was such a great show to watch. So I want to rewatch that. Also, Kathy Griffin, My Life on the D-List is up on Peacock now as well. I want to do a rewatch of that. I love, like, those are all the shows. Like, I mean, this is even before podcasting was like happening. I think maybe were the Crappens guys doing it? I mean, they've been doing it for so long, but this was so long before any of that. And that's what's so wild, is that Bravo was always my station. I was watching Blowout with Jonathan Anton. Oh my God. Remember Blowout? I mean, you had Blowout, Flipping Out, My Life on the D-List. You had all of these amazing shows. What was the Jackie Werner one? Was that just workout? I'm forgetting that you had so many great shows that you can actually, that's the best thing about streaming is that they're all there for our enjoyment now at any time. The thing is though, once we get those things, we're like, oh, it'll always be there. You know, like we don't usually, you know, it's like comforting to know it's there, but how many of you guys actively go out and do those things of like, you know what, I will do a rewatch of this. I mean, I think sometimes decision-making is the hardest part of pop culture since we have so much of it now. But it is one of those exciting things. Like, I was like, oh, man, this is like an excuse to watch NYC Prep again because I just love, I've watched that show like three times front to back. The first, when it initially aired, it only was one season. And then once at some other point, then once when I did like 3 years ago when I was doing those recaps, I just, phenomenal television. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the band Phish. Now, Phish is a band that I've gotten into in the last couple of years. Now, it's one of those, it's not like a secret society. It is one of those things that you have to sometimes get acclimated to. But a lot of people, you know, there are Phish fans, Phish heads everywhere. I mean, and these people, like I've been to what, four or five shows now. I'm a novice. You know, I have friends, you know, 200, 300 shows under their belt. And, you know, it's always, it's all the facts of like, oh my God, you saw an 80-minute version of Ghost? You saw, holy shit, you saw, did they play this? Did they play that? Because they change their set list every night. Now, the mythos of the band is kind of amazing, as the band is as well. They have such an interesting, great story because they're also musically gifted. But Trey, the lead singer of the band, I've watched now a couple of documentaries on this band that I really have enjoyed. But what year was it? It was in like the 2005, 2000, maybe I'm even off on this, was that he unfortunately had gotten addicted to drugs. And he was in a really bad place. And Phish broke up due to that. Like he kind of like, I think the other members of the band, because they had all kind of grown up together, gone to college together, all of this stuff, started as a band. And people just loved their experimentation and they would follow them like from town to town. And they just built this word of mouth fan base because they never truly have had any quote unquote hits. You know, you're not going to see them up there with Dua Lipa. They're not fighting with Beyonce. Like they carved out their own lane, which is something that I love about pop culture in this day and age, too, is that there's still word of mouth. There's word of mouth like, oh, you got to check this out. You got to check this out. And it's about finding family and community and things like that. They had broken up for a while. He was able to, he got arrested. He was able to get treatment, was able to become sober and make that a big, you know, tenet of his lifestyle from then on. And now they are at the top of their game in terms of just the music experimentation. They have such a sense of theatricalness about it. Like there are only four men in that band, you know, you got Phish and you got, oh my God, so many amazing things. But like, if you compare them to the Dead, you know, Grateful Dead or the current iteration Dead & Company, which they'll be playing in the Sphere pretty soon as well, is like the Dead now, they have so many different band members. They have like the drum and space section. They have all of these different things. But it's, with Phish, it's just those four guys. And it's an obvious comparison because, you know, there is this jam section where they will just take off down a song. And they don't even know where they're going. And it's really, really interesting to see what they do with it. You know, it is. I keep talking about high wire acts lately, but I think sometimes that's the best art that you can possibly have is when, you know, you are walking a tightrope and you could fall off at any second. And that's the thing, too, with like jam bands sometimes, you know, or even the Dead, sometimes you would see the Dead and it would be the worst show of your life or their, you know, like their life. But then the next night they would kill it. You know, they're just up there, you know, trying to make it work, trying to find that music. And like Phish last night, we got the longest ever live version of Down With Disease. I think that's the name of the song. We got a 31-minute Down With Disease song. I mean, for me, like, and we were on the floor, so I was standing. There was no seats on the general admission floor area. So I'm like, it was a 4.5 hour show. A 4.5 hour show. And what a way, this is my birthday week, and what a way to show how old my body has become. We're like, I used to go to Coachella every year, but man, my knees, I mean, the bottoms of my feet, I feel, I'm like, oh, Calgon, take me away. And if you get that reference, you get how old I must be feeling. It was amazing. And I gotta say, the Sphere, it is just an amazing venue. I've been there twice now. I was lucky enough to see U2's Octoon Baby tour at the Sphere, and that blew me away. But this is like, it's two different animals. So if I was to judge just by the Sphere itself, it's such an amazing venue, and I can't wait to see what other artists are going to be in there and what they do with the space, because each, like, Dead & Company, I'm so excited to see what they do with the space. But now there's rumors that, like, Eagles potentially are going to be there, which that means I have to take my dad. But, you know, I think Beyonce will do something there. There's rumors of Miley Cyrus. I mean, after watching No Doubt at Coachella on the live stream, I thought No Doubt would be great in the Sphere, but they're actually going to be even doing a UFC match, Dana White said. And I'm not a big UFC fan, but it is interesting. They're going to even find a way to use the Sphere. But it has such hyper-directional sound in the Sphere. So you could stand at any different location and you'll get like a different perspective, or the music kind of just juts out at you. Plus, the entire thing is like one big, gigantic video screen. So the things that you can project on this, the things that you can make on this, it is the ultimate 360 experience in entertainment. It is just... But like, I sit there, I'm like, oh my God, I'd love to watch Vanderpump Rules on this thing. I mean, I just want to rent this out and just watch that episode where like Stassi slaps Dodie. Like, I mean, imagine that's going to be powerful. Imagine Aviva throwing her leg in the Sphere. Oh God, can you imagine? That'd be iconic. But it is overpowering to all of the senses. It's really wild. It seats 20,000 people and it is just... incredible. It's incredible. But like I said, if I were to judge the two shows by the Sphere, I think U2 made a better, made some better choices with the space itself. And I think partially that they might have had a bigger production budget just in terms of their graphics, because they were the first. So they had to put like the Sphere people, the people behind it, cost $2.1 billion to make this thing. And they want to like kind of make other ones around the world. So this is the first big one. So they had to go out like heavy swinging. The other difference is Phish did 4 nights and each night was a completely different set with completely different graphics. Whereas U2 did a very similar show every night. So those graphics came like when the streets had, where the streets have no name, you're going to get the same graphic. When you get one, you're going to have the same graphics, all of those, you know, same graphics, but the detail work in the U2 graphics, if I were just to geek out, I would say worse. And that was the first time being in there. So for me, it was overpowering, like tears streaming down my face at points, because the beauty was just overwhelming. Now, the Phish graphics, to me, they were great. There were a couple moments. There was this one where they had these kind of like robots. It looked like the Iron Giant, if you guys remember that cartoon from like 30 years ago. And it looked like between a cross of that and like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but like the eyes could like shoot out lights into the crowd. It was really amazing. And then there was one that looked like a black hole, and it was, but at the same time, I thought these are really trippy. You know, listen, I don't want to put it out there, but I think a couple of people might've been on drugs there last night. Actually, unfortunately, or fortunately, not me, but it's one of those things you can imagine people just losing their shit, like potentially having either the best or the worst trip in their life because they're just not used to seeing something this powerful. But compared to the U2 graphics, if I'm just to be really picky, I think the U2 graphics were so much better. But the band, it's just also two different styles of music. And it's also more challenging for Phish because they are doing like 30-minute jam sessions on certain songs. They are doing this, and to like kind of have to be able to keep the improvisational aspect of their band and then try to do graphics around that. I've actually listened to so many interviews now about it because I find the process fascinating of how you have to build these graphics and how you have to test these out. And the sound from the band is like the sphere itself is like one kind of breathing, living organism in terms of taking sound in and putting it back out. In fact, they had to have the drummer fit. He had to be behind plexiglass because if not, the directional sound wouldn't like, you had to have like this plastic over thing so the sound could bounce against something. It's really interesting. There's no speakers on stage because the sphere itself is a giant speaker. So there's a lot of things I imagine as a band you have to really get used to in that space. Now, I think Phish did four nights, but I'm sure they're going to sign up for they'll probably do four nights for the next like 8 or 9 years. But I've been really lucky as a newer Phish fan. Like I went to their New Year's Eve show at MSG this past year, and I got to watch this musical. Like they've never done this thing, this musical Stonehenge. Wait, I'm saying the name wrong. One sec. Sorry, not Stonehenge, Gamehenge. It was a musical that Trey, the lead singer, had written, I guess, back in college maybe. And it had never been done before. People knew the songs, but it had never been done as a whole. And each New Year's Eve show, they usually have at Madison Square Garden, and they usually do something crazy. Like each year they do something crazy, but this was their craziest. And they staged this was a surprise. Nobody knew until you got there. They staged a full production of this musical. They had dancers in lizard costumes. They had actors out on stage. It was wild. But I will say, like, I'm a seasoned concert goer. And even for me, they played 5 hours that night. They did an opening set. Then they did Gamehenge. And then I thought, okay, well, that's 4 hours right now. Then they went into like almost like a greatest hits last hour where I was like, oh my God. I mean, like I was like, do I live here now? Like at a certain point, I was like, this is a little, you know, but it was so wild to watch all of the fans like losing their minds and crying because they were a part of something so special. And I geek out about that kind of stuff. I love it so, so much. So this was a great experience all around. It really was. And it was amazing. I mean, those are the luckiest parts of my life. And I think, you know, when I look back on my life, when I'm on the old deathbed, if I'm lucky enough to ever get there, you know, I'll be thinking about things like this, you know, and the times, you know, the experiences shared with people I love and seeing these really cool things that as a kid I would dream about. You know, concerts are one of the best things. I always said, and I've said it many times in the show, concerts are great. Festivals are great because it's one of the only times in your life where you are going to see a mass amount of people happy. You know, like I would go to Coachella every year and you would just walk across the field and everybody was pretty happy. And you don't see that in everyday life. You don't walk down the street and people aren't usually just skipping and a jumping unless you're outside of like Tom Tom. And that's usually just me or in like Sir Alley. So it's one of those things that you go to like a Phish show or you go to U2, like everybody's excited. Everybody's happy. You get to forget about like the shit in the world for a couple of hours, or if it's Phish, like 8 or 10 hours, depending on how long they play. And it's like, there's just something, that's the kind of feeling I chase, is like those things. Live music is so great. That's why during the pandemic, that was really the world. Like I was going to, I think then like maybe a concert a week, it seemed like. You know, small venues, big venues. I used to go to Hollywood Bowl all the time because it was one of those things. I'm naturally a depressive person, and it's just one of those things that you'd always kind of be happy, or you'd get to watch a bunch of people that would be happy, and that would inspire you to be happy, you know? It's just great. Okay, so Austin Kroll of it all. There's no big story here. Everybody's like, because, and I'll explain. So before the show even started, got there super early. We were going to get some chicken fingers, some tendies, just put a little base in your stomach, you know, a tendies and a beer, chicken tenders and a beer. And we were on the floor, but we went up to the level where like the food was and stuff, and get some chicken tenders. And then all of a sudden I see Austin and this guy walking towards me, and I'm like, no fucking way. No way. No way. Like I knew he was there for Phish. Somebody at Sandra told me he was there for Phish. So he had been the night before, but I was like, no way. So I was like, come on. Cause I was already thinking, oh man, this will be funny for the Facebook group. This will be funny. And so I was like, oh, hey, Austin, what's up, man? Big fan of the show. And then I was like, hey, can I get a picture real quick? There's no exciting story because I wasn't like, hey, I'm Ryan. So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. Remember when I did a change.org to never have you on Summer House again? Glad to finally meet you in person. You know, like, in my thought process, in my defense, if it had been another area, I would have had an actual conversation about that and even kind of a hopefully lighthearted conversation. But fish, I know this sounds for the uninitiated, fish is very sacred. And I did not want to ruin his vibe, his night. I didn't even want to put that, like, I didn't even want to put it out there of like, you better watch yourself, dude. Who know? You know, I'm going to talk about this. Like, I didn't want to put it out there. Like, I was genuinely just like, oh, this will be a funny picture. Everybody's just like, oh, how was the show last night? Just basic. He was very pleasant. We're the same height. I just want to tell people that. I know the picture that I took makes it look like I'm shorter than him. But I was kneeling. I was on my knees. No, he's like 6 feet. He is a tall drink of water, as all the women tell me. I'm 6 foot. That is in the book, 6 foot. Yeah. He's gotta be like 6'4" something, very tall. And, yeah, but that's it. There was no other story there. And in fact, I waited to even post the picture. I posted it in my Facebook group, but that's private. So I didn't, but I waited to even post it on my Instagram until after the show. And I didn't tag him because I just didn't want to, you know, like I am as silly as I can be and as tacky as I can be. I still do respect, people's good times and people's vibes and all of that stuff. And I didn't want to, in case, you know, I didn't want to put it out there. Who knows what time, you know, what kind of time Austin was having. So you don't want to ruin anybody's time just to be like, what's up, dude? I hear you're filming Southern Charm right now. Are you being nice to the ladies this season? And I didn't want to. Madison, what are you talking about, Madison? No, in another world, I would have done that, but that's it. I know Sandra, I was texting with Sandra Medisa because I was like, I was so excited to have had that. I was like, oh my God, Sandra Medisa are going to freak out. And then there was like, who else can I send this to that actually appreciate? Like, you know, my friend Nick doesn't watch Southern Charm. He's not going to give a rip. Who's like, okay, who's the taller guy than you on the picture? But yeah, and then Sandra, I think, was wanting a way better story. Like, she really wants me to go on their podcast, Pillows and Beers. And I'm like, we got to get Craig to unblock me first. I should have said that. I said, hey, P.S., hey, man, can you get your boy Craig to unblock me, bro? But it was great. It was very nice. He was very nice, too. I think he might have been a little surprised that somebody actually gave a shit about Bravo at the Fish Show. But that's what's so great about fandom. We are all sorts of people out there. We are all sorts of people. So that was a little bit of my night at Fish. And listen, I could go on, and I'm sure we should do a podcast someday where I go on and on about all the ins and outs of Fish as I know it, but as a new. In fact, it was so funny. On Saturday night, we went to the show on Sunday night. Saturday night, I spent 2 hours on TikTok going through Fish videos. I just typed in Fish. And then it was like, of course, all like the stuff you had seen at the Sphere already. But like, you know, you had all these people talking about Fish, like documentary pieces. But that's what TikTok sometimes can be great about. It can like lead you down all these rabbit holes and you get to learn so much. If TikTok is used correctly, it can be a great source of learning and enjoyment. But I think sometimes we just use it for the worst possible things imaginable. So anyways, Fish, great. I also think potentially you're never going to understand them unless you go to a concert. So if somebody invites you to a concert, even if it's not your thing, and this doesn't have to be just about Fish, always say yes if you can afford it. If you can afford it, always say yes. Always say yes to a new music experience because you never know. You never know what's going to move you in the moment. When we listen to things, when you listen to Taylor Swift's new album, you listen to it, you take it in. And like I talked about on Monday's show, you know, sometimes you're lucky then to sit with a piece of music and it moves you in a different way a month later, or a year later, 2 years later. But sometimes with live music, it will hit you in a way where it'll make the band's music make sense. Where if you hear them, I don't even think like listening to any of Fish's album, you're not going to get what makes them special, if that makes sense. So always take that opportunity to go see a band live because you never know. It might save your life. We'll be back with more news stories after this break. Okay, we are back. I always love these shows when it's like a smaller interview and I can kind of just chat with you guys because there's so many different things that I'm listening to or reading. or watching, and I love to talk about them. And it's not just reality TV, even though I have a couple of reality things that I do want to talk about. But I just finished watching. Do you guys remember The Jinx? It was the docuseries, 6-episode docuseries on HBO. Before it was HBO Max, and then it became just Max. It was directed by Andrew Jarecki, and it followed Robert Durst, who was, there was a lot of mystery around him because he had been, you know, he had allegedly murdered three people. And at the end of The Jinx, they caught him. This is a very Bravo thing in terms of like a hot mic, thinking back to Lisa Hochstein's husband, Lenny, talking about cheating on his wife on a hot mic. Well, Robert Durst forgot that he was mic'd up. And on the final episode of The Jinx, he went into the bathroom after being questioned for this entire docuseries. And he said, "That's it. They got me. You know, I murdered them all, of course." He was talking to himself, but he didn't realize his microphone was still on. And even production, they didn't even realize until months and months later when they were listening to the audio. You know, they don't usually just go and listen to somebody pissing. I've actually made that mistake a couple of times on sets when I've not turned off my mic pack or had like the sound guy turn off your mic pack. And they're like, "Oh my God, they just heard the most powerful, amazing, manly stream of wee that they've ever heard in their life." You know, like you don't realize it until you're like, "Oh, shoot, man. Thank God that was number one." But he didn't have his mic pack turned off. They didn't even realize, though, but he basically admitted it, that he killed them all. So what's exciting, if you are true crime fans, The Jinx 2 just premiered on Max on Sunday night. So it's a new docuseries about the events that happened after, like right when The Jinx was airing. And right before he got picked up by police, you know, as a suspect in these murders. And I just watched the first episode. I thought it was really good. It's great to revisit these things that had kind of pop culture relevance, but also great when justice can be served for all of the families. And Robert Durst is just an insane character. He's just a captivating, insane man. He has passed away since this, but this is going to take us through his criminal trial that all got started back up again because of this Jinx docuseries. That is the one great thing about, you know, shows like Dateline, 48 Hours, Murder Mystery, all of the true crime podcasts. Sometimes it really affects real amazing change where these cases, some of them cold cases, will get brought back into the light and new details will emerge that you can get justice for these families. I was talking over at Sirius the other day when I was there for Jeff Lewis. By the way, if there's any chumps listening, thanks for being here. I just want to remind you, I will not be on Jeff Lewis Extended this week or next week. I will be in New York for my birthday. My dad's coming, you know, and you're going to ask Medit Sinsaya. You can ask my friends. I'm like, Medit Sinsaya. I'm never really excited for my birthday. I'm one of those people. I know this sounds like complete bullshit. I don't love a lot of attention. In fact, I get nervous about attention, which is wild. I know it doesn't make sense. Why do you do this podcast? Why did you choose to be an actor? I don't know. I mean, I know, but it's wrapped up in a lot of pathos and misery. But I get, you know, like I'm like, "Oh, my birthday. Oh, it's another year. Oh, my God." So anyways, I'm trying to have a positive attitude about it. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I will not be if you're a chump, but hopefully they'll ask me back for the week after that and we can start it up because I have such a good time there. So, hey chumps, if you're listening. So I was talking to Alyssa over there and they have a new true crime channel over at Sirius. I swear to God, this isn't a plug, but I was like, "Oh, that's amazing." Like true crime, by the way, when I was, you know, as I get further and further into podcasting, the real things that like really pop on podcasting, one of, if not the biggest thing, is true crime. True crime, the amount of downloads, the amount of people that want to listen to these stories. And in fact, if I could do it all over again, there's part of me that would like, "Oh man, I would have loved to have thrown more of a true crime element into this show," because that's another thing. Like, are you kidding me? Watched every episode of Dateline, 48 Hour Murder Mystery. Get out of here. The glory days for me of 48 hour Murder Mysteries was around like the 2005 era. Like 48 Hour Murder Mystery really put up a very competitive fight with Dateline for a minute, and then Dateline just took over. But then podcasting took over for that, and then docuseries took over from that. You know, it's like so interesting, but it is so... So I thought, oh my gosh, what a no-brainer over at Sirius have a 24-hour-a-day true crime channel. I know these things aren't supposed to be exciting because it's so dark, but it is one of those things that we're drawn to because I think we're drawn to that impossible. We're drawn to the impossible because you and me, we think, oh my God, murdering somebody or a true, like that's what we fear. It's not something possible in our heads, but you know, it's out there. That's what I think is so scary sometimes about life is the things that we would never do. You see other people out there doing, and it's like the horrible, gigantic, what if the thing that keeps you alone at night, the thing that keeps you up at night when you're a kid, there's a monster in my closet or somebody that's like, I used to be deathly afraid of break-ins as a kid. In Kansas. I remember that. I was so scared that somebody, I saw like a really scary episode of Webster one time, and there were burglars that came and burgled Webster's place. It was like an 80s sitcom, kids. And I remember just being petrified after that. And I would always be like, is there a robber in my house? Like always just so scared of that because you never know the what if, the things, those keep you up at night. So yeah, The Jinx to part two, recommend it. First episode in, I'm back in. Kind of reminds you of where you left off all those years ago. And I'm excited about that. Now, another show that I want to talk about is this show on Netflix. Now, I mentioned it maybe on the Patreon or maybe even on a main feed episode last week, but it's called Baby Reindeer. You guys might have heard about this by now, but it just came out like a week and a half ago, so maybe not. I think you'll start hearing more and more about it, but it is on Netflix. You're going to binge the whole thing if you watch it. There are only, let's see, you got how many episodes? 7 episodes. Some of these episodes are 30 minutes long. You can binge it. Very adult themes and material. So if you shy away, there's like a lot of stuff about sexuality in there, a lot of trigger warning things. So go into it knowing that. But even through that, there is so many amazing moments in this. Amazing acted moments. And this is based on a true story of the person that this happened to. And the person that this happened to, he also cast himself as the lead actor. And normally you might be turned off by that. Like, oh, that's weird. But it's not. It's kind of beautiful. He knocks it out of the park. I mean, he lived it, but he knocked it out of the park. I mean, the acting in this is just phenomenal. So this is the log line for this. The story follows the writer and performer Richard Gadd's warped relationship with his female stalker and the impact it has on him as he is ultimately forced to face a deep, dark, buried trauma. Based on the compelling true story, the hit 2019 Edinburgh Fringe one-man stage play, Baby Reindeer follows the writer and performer Richard Gadd's, warped relationship. But Richard Gadd is the person that this happened to. He's also the actor in this, the writer in this. But I will say, you know, they talk about the female stalker, but she is very, you have a lot of empathy and sympathy for her. Obviously a very disturbed person that I don't want to give anything away yet, but also the actor that plays her. Her name's Jessica Gunning. She is fantastic. Fantastic. But it's wild, though. I mean, it is a wild, and it just shows so much about buried trauma and the things that our minds will think or make excuses for or what we will allow in our lives. And especially if you have a low self-esteem or something and the things that, you know, because I think he takes a very honest look at himself. You know, is that he's to blame for this as well. Is that life is so complicated, right? It's never just, you know, cut and dry. Like I always say, there's all these shades of gray. I hate math, but the one thing that I like about math is there's unless I've been taught math wrong, there's usually only one right answer to a math problem. And I'm talking basic math, folks. If there's any like really weird like Goodwill Hunting people out there, I don't want to get emails about like math can be all sorts of things. You know, 5 + 3, 8, obviously, right? I like that. But in real life, there are so many ins and outs. There are so many things that are hard to explain. And it's very interesting to, you know, watch this man's story that he lived about this lady that was stalking him. and almost having empathy for her, even though, like I said, a very mentally unwell person, but how we can get ourselves in deep, dark holes, and that we will sometimes, even for people that are unhealthy in our life, even if we know that, we will reach out to those people or we will let those people in our lives due to not believing in yourself. You will leave so many doors open that you should normally shut because you're trying to make up for your own past. You're trying to make up for your own hurt, your own trauma. So the world is wild and weird. And there are so many ins and outs that we possibly can't understand for every person. I mean, listen, we fighting back and forth about reality shows. I mean, we fight back. No, Lala's right. No, Ariana's right. No, Tom. No, we can all agree Tom's wrong. But you know what I'm saying? We'll fight about the most basic things. And I always find it interesting that we fight about these things because sometimes we're fighting even though we realize how messed up life is, how we get ourselves in just the most insane batshit situations. We all do. I mean, there's not one person out there that I haven't ended up talking to at some point where we're like, oh, well, I mean, there was that period of time where, yeah, I had to escape to Mexico for a while. Sure. I mean, you know what? Anyways, Richard Gadd, and the crazy thing about this, and this is, this was, I found this on TikTok, was that, of course, and I knew this immediately when I watched this, I said, okay, how long until people try to actually find this woman that stalked him? How many until, like, because, you know, he hides the name, he hides, like, you know, certain things. So he didn't want, like, he did still did want to protect her. And there's another abuser in this. Like I said, I don't want to give anything away, you know, people are going to try to find him as well. And I said, that's just the nature of where we are in society, is that everything's a mystery that we need to uncover. I mean, it's part of the sad thing about pop culture too, is that we are now all Facebook detectives. We are all now looking so deep that a piece of art, we're never going to take it as such because we're going to add our own two cents. And I guess by design, it's meant to do that. I just think now we have so many tools and we get ourselves such in, like, the deep end sometimes where it's not even meant to go. And then it gets, like, conspiratorial. But the reason why I bring this up also is that, yeah, what I predicted did come true. And that Richard Gadd on his Instagram today wrote, "Hi, everyone. People I love have worked with and admire are unfairly getting caught up in speculation. Please don't speculate on who any of the real life people could be. That's not the point of our show. Lots of love, Richard." And yeah, because if you do even some light digging, as I did, you know, I've watched TikTok after TikTok video last night of who each person in this story is, but he doesn't want any of those people bothered. You know, he wants them to be able to move on with their lives. But it is interesting when you are telling a first person account that that's just the nature of the game nowadays, is that people are going to track these people down. And I'm curious because even with messages like this from Richard, the writer and actor in it, people aren't going to listen to that. And it must be incredibly frustrating because then people are going to try to get an interview with this lady. And you just hope, because this person definitely has some mental instability, and I'm being kind by saying some mental instability, is that you don't want this to trigger any more bad behavior on her end. You don't. I mean, there are consequences in life, sure, but I think she has, or he thinks she has, paid a price enough. So I'm very curious, and I really hope people do heed his warning here, but I don't think they will, just following pop culture lightly. And I think this is one of those shows that is going to be talked about more and more and is going to be passed around. And if Netflix does the campaigning it should, I think we'll be eligible for some Emmys this year. Or, you know, I think it will be up and should be up. I thought it was a very powerful piece of work. Have you guys watched it yet? What did you think? I know some episodes are really uncomfortable to sit through. I think it's the fourth episode in particular that was a very hard episode to watch, a very brave episode. But, it's serious, but also there's so much humor in it. There's so many pathos. That's why I think it hits all the levels that I really love, because it has a little bit of everything. But like I said, trigger warning. A lot of sexual situations talked about, discussed, shown. So if that is not your bag, stay far away from this. But if it is your bag, you're going to know. I just think it's a beautiful piece of work. But I really am curious what you guys think. And let me know. I might even do a whole separate episode on this in the Patreon just because I want to talk more about it, you know? And that's the most exciting thing when you love somebody. You're like, oh, I want to talk more about it. I want to talk to people about this. I've had so many great text conversations. I mean, Sandra and Meditza watched it, but then my buddies Adam and Susie watched it and we were texting back and forth on it. And I was like, man, this is when something's good. When something's good, even if you have disagreements about certain elements of it, if something's overall good, it's really exciting to talk to people about it. It's a communal experience, which all of this should be. So Baby Reindeer, go check it out. The Jinx 2, go check that out. Oh, I forgot to mention this in my fish segment. Now, you guys might have heard about this or not, but you know Drew Carey, right? The host of The Price is Right, The Drew Carey Show, stand-up comedian, insanely successful person, very nice person as well. I've had the pleasure to meet Drew Carey a couple of times. I also want to say during the writer strike, he did this thing where if you, during the whole strike, which lasted months and months and months, if you wanted a free meal, you could go to Bob's Big Boy Burger in Burbank. And Drew just put his credit card down and go, have a meal on me. And he did that through the entirety of the strike. This man always seems to like, you know, put his money up for really good things. And he's worked with a lot of people and tried to give them opportunities of people that I've believed in my life, giving them a leg up. And he just seems like a really solid person. But he went to the fish shows, and I don't think he had ever been to a fish show before. And it was a very mind-blowing experience for him. So Drew Carey had not deactivated, but stopped using Twitter or X a couple of months ago and said, you know what? I'm not going to be using this anymore. All of a sudden, he fires his Twitter account up last night during and after the fish show. And I saw Drew through the, like, I was close to where Drew was because I was like, oh shit, there's Drew Carey. You could see him. And I know it had already been the shows that weekend at Fish. So I thought that was funny. What are the chances? I see Drew Carey and Austin Kroll on the same night. Maybe Drew Carey should be on Southern Charm. Anyways, he tweets this out. So great. He tweets this out last night. Hashtag fish at the hashtag sphere. Okay. This is, if there's kids in the car, just earmuff their little baby ears right now. Okay, this is what he writes. I swear I just talked to God. I would give you all my money, stick my dick in a blender, and swear off pussy for the rest of my life in exchange for this. Bro, I met God tonight for real. I feel like I just got saved by Jesus. No lie. Now, I liked the show, but I was, there was never a thought of me putting a dick in a blender and like any of my body parts in a blender. Like, I really liked the show. That was great. I just never did a blender. And I think Drew might have been, you know, I think Drew might have experienced a different show because of maybe certain elements. I can only guess what Drew was going through. He did that. And then he follows it up with this a little bit later. This is a little bit later. This is 4:45 a.m. He tweets this. The show was over, I think, around 8:90, around 1. He tweets this at 4:45. And I'm like, we got to watch the language here. And he's a very nice man. So the graphicness in this tweet cracks me up. Okay. This is what it must. God, you guys, I'm so sorry. I just want to. This is not me. I did not write this. This is Drew, who had a religious experience. But he also is using a lot of language. He goes, this is what it must feel like to come with a pussy. Because if it's even close, I'm flaying to what, I think he means flying, but he wrote flaying. I'm flaying to wherever tomorrow and getting the best pussy money can buy. I don't need to be a man no more if it means I can feel like this all the time. Fucking keep it, bro, if I can get this feeling instead. That was God at work or something. Like, it felt like I was being saved by Jesus, no lie. I think that's a beautiful sentiment. I also love that it was 4:45 in the morning when he tweeted this. He was definitely on a long, strange trip, obviously. But I love that I was saved by Jesus tonight. And Jesus is like, yo, did you have to put the cum and the pussy and all that stuff? I mean, like, I really love the shout out, but he'd give it all up. He put his dick in his blood. He was saved tonight. I love that. But also, he does, like, he's the host of The Price is Right. There's a lot of, I wonder what CBS thinks of stuff like this. Hey, we got a code red. Drew Carey's at a fish show. Yeah, We need to talk to the bigwigs right now. We don't know what to do. Hopefully it'll just pass. Don't even read. Does anybody even know who Fish is? I just thought this was it. It's still up on his Twitter account. I just checked it an hour ago, and I was like, oh, amazing. He hasn't even taken it down. Truly amazing. I also have so many pictures and videos of that night, you guys, but I only posted like two things on Instagram because I'm trying to be better about that, about being in the moment. And not like posting every fucking thing that I see, even though that has always been my natural urge. Okay. So, let's take a hard left turn to some Vanderpumpy rules. Now this, Joe, Juicy Joe, not from Jersey, but from Vanderpump Rules, Joe, her real name's Kaylee Wenberg. She did a Instagram live over the weekend with her friend. And this is what I got to tell you. It's so funny. I've seen it happen time and time again. Is that these people come on a reality show. They talk about not wanting to be there. I'm just being here for Schwartz. I'm being here for this person, blah, blah, blah. And then they get into it. And then they can't. It's like so intoxicating. Talk about Drew Carey and a drug. This is a drug. It becomes a drug because she wants that attention. She's going live. She's answering fans' questions. Like, she wants to be back on this show, but it is wild. But I do want to say, I think this is from my favorite account, Vanderpod Recaps, that was like posting actual clips from this live that Joe did, where she said many things during the live, but she was like, oh yeah, I do think Schwartz is like meant, like we are meant to be, but like, we got to give it some time. And I'm like, Joe, I can guarantee you that Schwartz does not want to be with you and Schwartz will not be with you. I can guarantee. I think he's just hoping you can chill out and not go like, but that I think really is in the back of her mind of like, oh, someday we will be together. No, I literally will put my dick in a blender if they actually wind up together. I truly will. She talks about how Katie apologizes to her at the reunion, which I knew about that already, but Katie apologized to her, and rightfully so, because nobody in the cast really knew how deep her and Schwartz's relationship were. Now, also though, Zach Wickham, who is on The Valley and Kristen Doty's BFF, BFFs with a lot of them, he wrote this on the post, I believe, he wrote, okay, so, and then he did four emojis with the eyes looking to the ceiling. Let's start with a few corrections. You never talk with Tom, he's meaning Joe, you never talk with Tom because he doesn't want to talk with you, and if he does, it's out of politeness. Sophia is not a fan of the show, but you sure were when you met Kristen. And I could go on, but I'll just end on one note. You are the one that gave up your friendship with Kristen and decided that being on TV was more important than someone who has been there for you and supported you, paid for you when no one else was. Don't say you wouldn't be friends with Kristen again like you have a choice. Oh, Zach Wickham showing why he's on The Valley, being messy in the comment section. But I believe, and I agree with Zach 100%. This is what I've been telling you guys. I know a lot of you guys don't listen to this show every day. But I've talked about this before, is that she watched Vanderpump Rules. She knew about this. She wanted to. There, I'm telling you, and it's not just with Schwartz. It's like each one of those cast members have hangers-ons, have people that say, I would never do the show. I don't want to be on the show at all. Oh my God. But secretly, they want to be on the show. Even if they just lied to themselves and said they don't, they're just there for, they want to be on the show. The opportunity to potentially be in the, how do you think Sir even just keeps staffed to this day? People like sign up to work at Sir just on the off chance that maybe they will cast them, which doesn't really seem to even happen at all anymore. You're better off even like probably at TomTom because they film there more. But this is what I had always heard about Joe, is that, yeah, and Doty talks about this all the time, was that, like, Joe literally got Schwartz and, like, just blocked Doty and pushed her out entirely because she knew Doty was going to be like, what the fuck are you doing? Also, I wanted to give a special shout out to Doty and Luke. They lost their dog. I mean, it was Doty's dog first, but Luke, also a dog dad to Bowie, her dog. Bowie passed away over the weekend. And I messaged with Doty a little bit about it. And I know how hard it is to lose a pet. We lost our Brooklyn in the pet last year. And, you know, a lot of loss this year, but I think about her every day. I miss her every day. I miss her little pug nose. I miss her little eye or wonky eye and the good one. I miss so many things about her. And I know even no matter what anybody thinks of Kristen Doty, good or bad, it is incredibly painful, especially when you have an elderly dog that, you know, needs so much care and attention, and how that really, it's really sad. It's really sad. So shout out to Bowie. What a good boy. What a good dog. And really hoping that Kristen and Luke are okay. Cause it's just so sad. It's our little furry friends. It sucks. You know how many times I had full on conversations with my dog, and I just wish, oh man, I wish I could see Brooklyn again. I really do. What a very, very special dog. But, I saw that over the weekend, and I reached out, and, I just hope they're okay. But also Joe, my gosh, Kaylee, my gosh, just stop it. And also, I'm telling you, she's more of a mean girl than she wants this like sympathetic storyline of people should feel bad, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, girl, you belong on reality television. You're just as messy as all the rest of them. You're just as mean as all the rest of them. Like, honestly, you know, I mean, we all have that in us, sure. You know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But it's just wild. Ugh. Ugh. That shit makes me angry. But I'm sure she'll keep going, because I think you get addicted to that attention. You get addicted to people wanting to talk to you. You get addicted. At first, it's so alluring for people to, like, message and all that stuff. Man, I think in the end, it just kind of really stalls out any kind of self-improvement. But sometimes, whether you admit it to yourself or not, that's what you're out for, is just some sort of notoriety, just to show, like, just to, and especially if you're somebody that, like, doesn't have a deep belief in themselves, you can use that as a crutch to get you through a little piece of time of, like, all these people all of a sudden want to talk to me. I can sell merchandise. Oh my God, I'm going to be at the reunion. Oh my God, I met Andy Cohen. Oh my God, people are telling me I belong with Schwartz. And that's what I've wanted people to tell me all my life. This is amazing. Oh God. I think we have two more episodes of Pump Rules. Tonight episodes will be the penultimate. And then next week should be the finale, if I'm correct. And then we go into however many parts the reunion is, but I cannot wait for this to be over. What about you guys? Are you guys still fully in? Like, it's sometimes it's fun comedically, but man, it is dark. And just to see where they're all now. Whew. Okay, I have so many other things to talk to you, but I realize we got a show on Wednesday, so we'll just keep the conversation going there. It's so funny. I always have this list of things, and I used to, when I would listen to Stern all the time back in the day, he would always be like, okay, you know, Robin, what do you think? I got this stack full of things we got to get to. We'll do this after the break. And he would never get to the things. And me as a listener would be like, what the fuck, man? You never got to those things. And then you do a show and you realize, it is almost impossible to get to all the things. Like, I have this app Evernote where I keep all of, like, my notes, or if I see something, I'll just, like, throw a quick note in there. I have notes now going back 3.5-4 years of things that I haven't gotten to, which is another thing that I have to organize that is just not organized at all. But anywho, tomorrow's a new day. We'll get to the rest of them. I have stories about Quentin Tarantino, the movie Blair Witch Project, more reality shows, so much more. So join us tomorrow. Tell your friends, tell your loved ones, come listen, come one, come all. This is a family. You can be here at any point. You can leave at any point. You can come back at any point. I just appreciate that you're here. I hope you have the best Tuesday ever, and I'll talk to you on Wednesday. Bye. So Bad It's Good is a Betches Media production. The show is hosted and produced by me, Ryan Bailey, with Meditza Lopez and Sandra Fryer. Additional support provided by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Steinberg. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. Video promotion by Laura Valencia. Be sure to send us your emails at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey@gmail.com and follow the show at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey on Instagram. And for additional craziness, go to patreon.com/sobaditsgood. Stay bad, baddies. Thank you to our sponsor, Hulu. Their new reality series, Vanderpump Villa, is an unfiltered portrait of what it is like to work in the glamorous French countryside while striving to impress Lisa Vanderpump. As guests arrive for their lavish vacation, the Vanderpump Villa staff are pushed to their limits, ready to cater to every whim, all the while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. Betches.